Mr. P, how you doing?
Very good, sir.
Let's start first of all with the Jets. Blake Wheeler, what's happening? He's chucking the knuckles every game.
The goon. My colleague Paul Friesen calls him Blake the Basher Wheeler now.
Nice, nice.
He didn't like a hit that Robin Regeer put on young Mark Scheifele the other night, so he immediately dropped the mitts and tried to fight him. I don't know if he's actually thrown a punch in any of these fights yet, but yeah, he got like 17 minutes worth of penalties or something, and it was his second fight of the year, and he even said afterwards, he said, I should have jumped, I can't remember who hit him, somebody from the Islanders knocked Scheifele out for the rest of the season last year, and Wheeler said, I should have jumped that guy too. So yeah, I think he's turning over a new leaf. He's bringing back the enforcer here in Winnipeg.
You know, it's interesting. Wheeler's one of the key cogs in that machine, obviously. But if you show that dimension, and we've discussed that here, you know, every once in a while, different scenario, small guy like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins gets into it and fights Dan Hamhuis. Now, that's not going to be his bread and butter, and it's not going to be Wheeler's bread and butter, even though he's a much bigger player. But it adds a dimension, doesn't it?
I think so, and I think it helps leadership-wise, too. I mean, you know, people were questioning why the most talented player on the team is spending 17 minutes in the penalty box against the league's defending champs, but, you know, they weren't going to win that game anyway, so what did it matter, right? He showed that if you're going to take a run at our guy, I'm going to fight you. And the Jets did have their two tough guys dressed for that game, but, you know, it was a heat-of-the-moment thing, and, yeah, why not? I mean, I'm slowly but surely, as I get older, getting away from this whole fighting and hockey thing, but I know how it still works, and yeah, that is a good thing, I think, for Blake Wheeler to do. It shows leadership, and it'll bring the group closer together, because these guys need everything they can get to get back to the playoffs.
Kirk Pentin joins us. Kirk, it's only three games, I know, but Pavlik's save percentage, at least, is respectable, and you can win with that. Has he played better? Do you notice any differences in his game?
I think his rebound control is better now than it has been, and that was a big part of his offseason, along with being in better shape. You know, Pavlik's save percentage is going to be watched more this winter than the temperature here in Winnipeg. It's this season or bust, basically, for Pavlik, and he is off to a good start. They started young Michael Hutchinson against the Kings the other night, which some people were questioning as well. But no, Pavlik so far hasn't caused anybody to light their hair on fire here in Winnipeg, and that's going to be the story of the year, is how well he plays. And if it's a repeat of last year, then who knows what's going to happen. But it, so far, so good. He's done what he's needed to do, and you're right, it is only three games, but positive signs are seen out of Andre Pavlik so far.
Yeah, that's interesting, Kirk. I remember tweeting to Ken Weeb the other night that the Jets aren't going anywhere as long as Pavlik and Hutchinson are the best they've got in goal. Mm-hmm. I may yet be proven wrong, but I'm just not so sure who is so sold there on Pavlik. Are we talking GM, coach, or both? Because to me, he just doesn't look like a guy you can line up behind. Not knocking the guy personally, he may be a great guy, but your numbers have to be better than that to give your team a chance.
Absolutely, and I was an Andre Pavlik fan a lot longer than most people in this town because of the guys in front of him. This team is terrible at team defense, and they have been ever since they got here from Atlanta, and that's a huge problem. Andre Pavlik, I'm almost tempted to say, and I've never really written this or thrown it out there, but the guy just saved their butts so many nights that he must have just got sick of it last year, because he did get a lot worse last year. But in the first 2 years in Winnipeg, I thought Andre Pavlik actually played pretty well, considering who was in front of him. There were many nights that he won games for them. Now, is he that elite guy? You're probably right, Robin, he's not. But I think if you can get Andre Pavlik to play at the top of his game and get this team playing better team defense, which I don't know if it can because it has not proven that it can over many, many years, then I think they might have a shot. But no, it's I mean, they tied him up to a long-term deal a long time ago, or, you know, 2 years ago. So he's their guy. There's really nothing they can do about it. So, and that's Kevin Cheveldayoff.
Yeah.
He was on that deal long before Paul Maurice got here. So there's really nothing Paul Maurice can do about it. So we'll see. That's all we can do.
Kirk Patton joins us from Winnipeg. Kirk, the Bombers, Nick Grigsby leading the league in rushing yards. Now, we've seen this before. Of course, the Toronto Argonauts did this a few years ago, and when they released the league's leading rusher, he came to Edmonton and wasn't really the same ever. Grigsby, was he just frustrated? Did he ask for this? And is he not a good blocker? What's the reason why he was out, caught, and was in, and now he's completely released?
Well, he did ask for his release, for sure. He was told today, I guess, that he was going to be a healthy scratch again this weekend, and he said, "All right, I want out of here." So they said, "See you later." Where to begin? It's the offensive line in Winnipeg, obviously. If you watched any of Monday's game, is not very good, which is a big problem. Grigsby's a straight ahead guy, north south runner, just boom, 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 and he couldn't find any holes. The offensive line in Winnipeg just gets pushed back more than it goes forward, and that's not a good thing. He was Drew Willey's main safety valve. He was the guy who would take the pass. He was almost their leading receptions guy. He's caught so many outlet passes when Drew Willey's been kind of running for his life. He was actually a pretty good blocker, good pass protector, but when you're trying to hold off two or three guys that get through the offensive line, that's never easy. The guy wasn't a game breaker, but he still led the league, still leads the league in touchdowns, and, you know, caught all those passes, decent at pass pro, and was leading the league in rushing for the longest time. So
Hamilton,
yeah, it's just a bigger mess. It just adds to the mess here in Winnipeg. It really does.
Hamilton going to pick him up?
Well, that's what we're hearing anyway, and you know their top two tailbacks are both hurt, so it would make sense for them to pick him up, and it'd be interesting to see what Nick Grigsby could do behind a decent offensive line. That would be very interesting to see if he is, in fact, kind of who we thought he was earlier in the year.
Well, Kirk, you make a good point about the offensive line. It sticks out like a sore thumb. I'd like to see what Drew Willey could do behind a decent offensive line, because the Bombers now look like the Eskimos last year when Mike Riley spent way too much time on his backside, some of it brought on himself by wanting to run with the ball and being fearless, but sometimes just because they weren't very good. How many, you know, do you see any droop in Willie's shoulders? Is he getting beaten down at all by this, or is he a fiery kind of guy who's going to say, "We'll get better up front and then we'll be fine"?
He is a positive guy. Even when he gets hurt, when he sprained his shoulder in BC a few weeks ago and could barely even lift his arm, he's like, "I want to go play. Just shoot me up for the second half." He's a tough guy, and you're right. It would be very, very interesting to see how he would do behind an offensive line that can block, because he showed earlier in the year that he has the mojo, the moxie, whatever you want to call it, to lead the team on late-minute drives. He won a game in Hamilton on the last throw of the game. He won a game in Montreal in the last minute with a beautiful pass on third down. And the offensive line is just not giving him time anymore. Teams have figured out how to beat the Bombers, and now Willie is hurt too. The only drooping he's doing is because of his physical pain. He's got the shoulder issue that's going to bug him for the rest of the year.
And he did hurt the hand, right?
And he hurt the hand, too. He didn't even practice today. The Bombers held a secret closed practice without telling anybody, but they did tell us afterwards that he still basically can't even grip the ball. So he's getting beat up. You're right. He's a lot like Mike Riley was last year. But, no, they have a keeper here in Drew Willey for sure. And now it's up to the scouting staff to find some offensive linemen who can protect them. They just haven't been able to do that. This regime has been here for a year and a half now, and they still can't find an import tackle, which is very surprising.
One last one for you, Kirk. You look around the league, the Toronto Argonauts, Hamilton Tiger Cats, outstanding game. Ricky Ray, ridiculous in that comeback for them. The Tiger Cats have been very hot. You got the Stampeders and the Eskimos. The Riders, like, they might have to resort to Kerry Joseph this weekend. That's how desperate they are. That's likely not going to go well. BC Lions losing Andrew Harris, I think, hurts them. Out of Hamilton, Toronto, Edmonton, Calgary, is Calgary clearly the best team, or is there another team you like and why?
Well, Calgary is clearly the best team, but the Edmonton Eskimos are trying to convince me otherwise. They look very good right now, and with Chris Jones as their leader, you can say what you want about Chris Jones, but that guy has those guys playing unbelievable football right now. I know they've only, you know, they'd only won two of their previous six before Monday, and beating up on the Bombers these days isn't that great, but I think they have the defense in place, and we saw it earlier in the year against Calgary, to give Calgary a great run in the West Final. And I know Saskatchewan getting Darian Durant back for the playoffs might make it okay, might make a good West semifinal between the Eskimos and the Riders. But to me right now, the Stampeders are going to win this thing. It's just a matter of can they get over that mental hurdle of blowing it and choking every November like they have the last few years. But, you know, Edmonton, it's going to be a Western team. It's if Edmonton can get their game in shape enough to take care of Calgary in the West Final.
Well, yeah, I think that's what it's coming down to. And Eskimo fans, you know, I do chuckle when people say, well, they haven't beat Calgary, so they're not any good. You know what? The Eskimos right now, because Saskatchewan's injuries, like, they could win out in the West pretty easily and have a, you know, have a 13-win season. You win 13 games, I don't care who you're playing. You know what? Their defense will be the issue. Like, one last one for you. MOP or best defensive player in the league right now, who gets your vote?
That's a great one. That is, can I just stall until you have to cut me off?
Go ahead.
How about, you know, Odell might get my vote for defensive player of the year. It's if he can convince me that Solomon, it depends on how many tackles Solomon Elamimian ends up with. I mean, if he gets 145 tackles or whatever, that's ridiculous. That's going to be hard to look past. And as for MOP, I don't know. It could be Solomon Elamimian right now because there isn't one offensive guy who's really been healthy enough. Cornish, Owens, all those guys. You know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a great vote this year, that's for sure. But, you know, if I had to do it right now, Elamimian might get my double vote.
Ooh. All right, Kirk, we'll appreciate your time, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All righty, boys. Have a good night.